Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So good to be here. Sorry to see you guys go. Lord bless you in Alberta. Minus 37. Lord bless you in Alberta. It's going to be sweet.
Plus 10 on Monday.
Yeah, sure. Minus 40 on Tuesday. So you think positive, buddy. Absolutely. Worship team, thanks. This morning it was beautiful, and I know more is to come, and that's awesome. Now, Lisa and I have gone back, we go back as a friends 20 plus years, and to see you up here this morning leading and facilitating and guiding this church to a deeper place already, great story. Thank you. As a friend of yours and formerly your pastor way back in Red Deer a long time ago, it's beautiful to see the work of God in your life, and I thank you for that. That's awesome. For those of you who serve in this church in this capacity of leading, hosting a service, being involved in ministry, leadership, thank you. It is not, I have to get this job done kind of thing. You are here, as Scripture tells us, serving the very God we just sang about, the Holy God. He has given us calling. He has given us gifts. He has led us to a place. He's gathered us together here around this city, around this province, and around this world. Can you imagine some, maybe billion plus people gathered together on a weekend to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And we are a voice that joins that choir that gives praise to our God. This is not a social club. We don't gather here to be just good friends. It's a nice place on Sunday morning. We are here because we are light in darkness. I don't know if you live in the same world I do. I live in Chilliwack, pretty close to here. The challenges that our world is facing today, as we read the news, and I listened to the news again this morning, the challenge that we as our world face today, we need hope. And we need light. And we need strength. And we need Jesus. Amen? Amen. And Jesus said to us, I'm giving the role and responsibility of being the light in the world to you, me, us. There's no plan B. There's no, well, if it doesn't work out, don't worry about it. I'll figure something else out. We're it. The church. The ecclesia. The gathering together of the believers. That's what we're here doing today. The gathering together. This is a school. It's not a church building. If you were in a church building, it's just a building. You're the church. And we, the church, the gathering of the believers, gather together for encouragement, love, and support, growth, maturing, building into one another. And then we are sent out. I'm guessing 170-ish some people here this morning. We are sent out into this community, Courtney Comox, to be the light in darkness. It's who we are. If you are a Christ follower today, it's who you are. You don't get a choice in this. Well, I guess you get a choice to cover your light. It tells us that in Matthew. But he says, if you're the light, then shine bright. If you're the light, if you bring the message of Christ, then bring the message of Christ. If you are bringing the message of grace and mercy and love and compassion to anybody you encounter, in the grocery line, at school, in the workplace, at home, in wherever you are Christ. That's what the word Christian means. Christ-like or little Christ's. It's who you are. When you said yes to Jesus, you said no to me. You said no to self. Yes to Jesus, die to self. You're the church. And the church cannot survive without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit so that you can flourish. And I'm empowering you to go and do. I don't know about you, but I know when I try and live that grumpy, unhappy face guy, when I'm doing Lego with my grandkids, when I try and live that place without the Spirit, that's what it ends up to be. I live a life that's not pleasing to Christ. I live a life that's selfish, that's all about me. But when I live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit, I live a life that's radically different. Yesterday, I met with the Board of Elders and Pastor Micah. Had a great morning together, at least I think we did. You can find out what they think later. I thought we had a great time, especially the muffins. Phenomenal, Sarah. Thanks very much. The muffins were amazing. We talked about leadership. Spent 3 hours together talking about you, the church, Living Hope. And we talked about vision and mission and values. Excuse me. Whenever we have a changeover of pastoral leadership, it's always a good time for the church and leadership to stop and go, okay, just let me take a breather. God has been a part of this church almost like 20 years. We've had great leaders, and now Micah. We've had good leadership. We've had opportunity to impact our community. But it's good for leadership to stop and for the church to stop and go, is this still our calling? When a new leader comes in, he comes in with a new set of gifts. He comes in with a new passion, a new sense of calling and purpose for himself, for his family, and oftentimes for the life of the church. It's the way God works it. He brings in one person, and they do a great job doing their thing, and then the next person does their thing, and now we've got Micah. And he's here to do what he's called to do from God. Yes, the elders brought him in, voted him in. I believe at the end of the day, Micah and Sarah and family is here because they are called by God. This very God we sang about, this holy God, they're here because God has called them here to love, lead, and care for you. To equip, to challenge, to do all that they can with the work of leadership and with you as ministry leaders, you as ministry people, coming together for the purpose of why God has you here. If you have no purpose here in this community, shut her down. Go somewhere else. Go find a church that has purpose. But God has you here on purpose. You exist as a church, not because somebody thought it was a great idea. You exist as a church because God thought it was a good idea. And He has brought you together. So we talked about vision. We reviewed your vision statements. We looked at those things and we said to each other, maybe it's time for us to rethink some of this a little bit. Let's do some evaluation. So over the next period of time, your leadership will start to lead you as a church through an evaluation of who you are, where you are, what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing, and bottom line, most important, what does God have for you next? I get excited about that. I really do. Because I attend Yarrow Alliance Church whenever I'm not on the road, which is not often, but I attend Yarrow Alliance Church, which is just outside Chilliwack. And our church just went through this very thing. We had a new pastor in about a year ago, and we went through a whole vision processing and values processing and came up with new kind of statements and a new sense of this is where we're going. And it's so cool to be a part of a church that knows where it wants to go. that knows where God said, this is what I want you to do, now get after it. It's wonderful to be a part of a church like that. But it's more than leadership. It means everybody goes, I'm in. I'm going to roll up my sleeves, and I'm going to be a part of what God's doing. And so I encourage you with that. Now, oftentimes, churches, when they go through this kind of a process, they'll try to look for what is the magical solution to get us to where we need to be. What's the magical thing? What's the newest program out there? There's house churches. Maybe we should just break up into house churches. Or maybe we should do simple church, which means we do nothing through the week but just meet Sunday mornings. Or maybe we should be all focused on evangelism. Or maybe we should just be all focused on prayer. Or just all focused on small group ministry. And we go, what should we be doing? And we try and we look around, we look at what our neighbors are doing, we look at, well, that church is growing, that church is like thousands. What are they doing? Careful. They're not you. And they're not this community. Sometimes, friends, we even go to Scripture and we find a passage of Scripture that kind of has a bit of a checklist. And they say, okay, that's what we're supposed to do. So I'm going to read to you a checklist. Found in Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bibles or your tablets or your cell phones or nothing. Is it on here? No, it's not. Just that. Well, that's where it's found. Listen close. Now listen, do me a favor. Work with me on this. Listen as if this is a checklist of what it means to be a great church. Okay? It's a checklist. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Check. To the fellowship. Check. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Check. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonderful signs and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Check. And the believers were together and had everything in common. Check. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who was in need. Wow, cool. Check. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Wow, little check. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Check. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Yes, big check. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. And we read that passage of Scripture, and we go, yeah, we should be that church. Micah, Board of Elders, put that checklist on the board, and then we can compare ourselves to that checklist. As I've read Acts chapter 1 and 2 over and over and over and over again, it's not what it says. There's no checklist here. I believe Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, what I just read, is the result of a Holy Spirit empowered, living, vibrant church. It's the result of Holy Spirit empowered people. It's not a checklist to try and accomplish. So let's go back to where it all starts, Acts chapter 1. And we see in Acts chapter 1, I want to read verses 1 through 8. The author of this book that we know of is Luke. He wrote the book of Luke, and now he's doing a follow-up letter to his friend Theophilus. And he said these words, in my former book, Theophilus, in the book of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up into heaven, until the day he disappeared. He went back to his Father. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So let's review the story. Christ's death, Christ's verses there, and it tells you he met Peter, and then he met the disciples, and then it said they met some over 500 people, face to face. Proof, I'm alive. And for 40 days after his resurrection, Christ traveled the earth and blessed and encouraged and sharpened the tools of his staff, of his team, of his disciples, of the apostles, of the new church. 40 days. And then it said he disappeared. And then 10 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit. Because he knows the church without the Holy Spirit is just a nice group of people. And so he sent the Holy Spirit. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. We see it in John 7, John 14, John 16. We see it throughout the whole Old Testament. We see it in Joel. We see it all over the place, prophesying. Someday the Spirit of God will come. So do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, in a few days, 10 days actually, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Okay, short little pause. Really? After everything? You're still concerned about Israel becoming a kingdom again? Guys, you completely missed it. He said to them, it is not good for you to know the times or the dates my Father has set by his authority. But you, now he looks him in the face, right in the face, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. You know where we fit in this picture? We are the very ends of the earth. Because the disciples obeyed and were empowered by the Spirit of God, and the message of Jesus and grace and mercy and forgiveness and justice spread across the earth for centuries until January 19, 2020. The ends of the earth. And that means tomorrow we take it the next step. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wait. Wait. The gift is coming. The power is coming. The thing that will ignite your... For 10 days, they waited. They waited in anticipation for. And then the Spirit came. The gift. The Holy Spirit. He brings power to live this thing we call the Christian life. Because without him, we blow up. We're affected by everything around us. Where if the power of the Spirit of God is within us, we have great power. So let's jump into that a little bit. You will receive power. The word power is actually the word from the root word dunamis. Dunamis is, if you think about dunamis and understand, it is the word dynamite. So we're not talking some kind of little thing called, oh, hey, a little power here. I was able to turn this thing and it kind of got the light bulb going. We're talking about power. It is power that is, the only way that the author can describe it is dynamite. It explodes with power. It's got strength. It's unusual ability. It's resurrection power found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, where the author says, Paul says, the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The very same power. The power of the Holy Spirit is in you. Do you believe that today? Do you live that today? Power. Let's think about that for a moment. Here's a room of about 110 people gathered in the upper room. Ordinary people, farmers, doctors, tax collectors, people that most people look at and go, they're just ordinary. Ordinary people armed with the message of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit turned their world upside down. Thousands upon thousands of people came to Christ because ordinary people, empowered by an extraordinary God through His Holy Spirit, turned their world upside down. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time the church, not just you, but everybody known as the church, this group that you're gathering together with in a few weeks, everybody who believes Christ is King, when's the last time this church in Courtney Comox turned your world upside down and the community said, oh my word, what is this? Why can't we have that again? Why can't that be who we are as the church? The power of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Arnold Cook formerly was the Vice President of Global Ministries with the Christian Missionary Alliance in Canada. Then he became the President for 12 years. And Dr. Cook, in his book, he wrote much more. He wrote these words: many believers stop with the experience or the step or the act of conversion. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. I have my fire insurance in place. That's kind of how I accepted Christ when I was 5 years old. Kind of got scared a little bit. But God was gracious enough to help me move beyond that quickly. They have never gone on to maturity. They have lived a life of spiritual poverty and defeat, always under the suspicion that there is more. I know I'm forgiven, but is that it? Is that all there is? I just go on now and be a nice person and be kind to others and that's it? No, there's more. I love what A.W. Tozer, a former Alliance pastor and a theologian, said these words: the Spirit-filled life is not a special, deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for His people. In other words, Micah, the pastor, is Spirit-filled. The elders of our church are Spirit-filled. Oh, I wish I could be Spirit-filled, but I'm not one of them. Oh, and there, this person who leads my Bible study, she's Spirit-filled, but the rest of the group isn't, for sure not. No, it's not only some get the blessing. We all get the blessing. The Spirit of God's in all of us. And He wants to empower us so much. And harsh and dirty and wounded and lost. I love what Hudson Taylor, great missionary, said these words. We are, I love it, we are, okay? We are a supernatural people, born again by a supernatural birth, kept by a supernatural power, sustained on a supernatural food, the Word, taught by a supernatural teacher from a supernatural book. We are led by a supernatural captain, the Spirit, in right paths to assured victories. That's who we are, the church. That's who you are as a follower of Christ. We are not ordinary. We are extraordinary because we follow an extraordinary God, and we are empowered by Him. Simpson saw the deeper life as recognizing the indwelling Christ, transforming his life through the Holy Spirit by substituting God's strength, God's holiness, God's joy, God's love, God's faith, God's power, substituting all of that for Simpson's worthlessness, helplessness, actual living fact. When we die to self and we say, yes, Jesus, I receive you, and yes, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you, and I give you full reign in my life, he replaces all of our weaknesses and inadequacies and all those things that are worthless, and he gives us everything. He gives us his power. What's the result of a spirit-filled life? What does it look like? Spirit-filled living? Two thoughts that we in the Alliance talk about. One is holy living, and one is holy service. Holy living and holy service. Holy living means it's a constant surrendering of ourself. The sinful nature, read from Galatians 5 this morning. Thank you for reading that. The sinful nature has all of these things that rise up within us, and we battle with it. Sometimes almost daily. It's a battle. So we surrender that and we give it back and we say, Lord, it's all yours. And we live a surrendered life. It's not about me, it's all about you. Surrendered life. It's about the fruit of the Spirit. Again, Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. If you want to run a checklist sometime, put those 9 things on a page and walk through and go, what's my joy like these days? What's my peace like these days? What's my self-control like these days? What's my gentleness like these days? And very quickly we'll come to realize, there's a couple areas, Lord, I need you to help me with. Holy living is about growing and being mature in Christ. We grow into maturity in Christ. No longer tossed this way and that way, but we are mature. We don't arrive, but we press that way. We move that way. Holy living. But the other part of this is holy service. He doesn't save us, empower us, so we can sit there and go, I'm a spirit-filled guy. I feel so good inside. It's not the way God works. He's active. He gives holy service. So he calls us to be servants. Servants of one another. No longer selfish. John 13, he washes his disciples' feet, and then what does he say? Now go and do what I've done. Go be servants. Serve one another. Rock their world with servanthood. Humility. And gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to get myself into trouble real quick right now. You're going to throw me out. I'm okay with that. Do I go here, Micah? Will you save me? Will you still love me? I don't believe there should be volunteers in the church. Should I leave now? I believe we are all called to be ministers of the gospel. And I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, has empowered every one of us with gifts of the Holy Spirit. As Corinthians says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, gifts of the Holy Spirit to empower and to build up and to love and nurture the body of believers and to reach lost people for Christ. I believe each one of you in this room has a gift or gifts. When it is empowered and lit up by the Holy Spirit, we don't need volunteers. Volunteers can kind of come and go as they wish. Each one of us in this room, if we are a Christ follower, we are empowered by the Spirit of God and given gifts to build into the body. Because this is important. What we do is important work. This is life-changing work for today and life-changing work for eternity. So no longer ask for volunteers. Will you, as ministry leaders, step it up and serve in this church and in this community so that they can see Christ, the power of the Spirit? Can I read to you again now Acts chapter 2, the way I believe it should be read? These are empowered, filled, overflowing, with the power and love and life of Jesus. And this is what this is what happens when they gather together. They devoted themselves. Oh, they were pumped. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I want to learn. I want to be nurtured. I want to get deep in the Word of God so I can learn how to live out my life. Better watch it. I might get preaching. To the fellowship of the believers. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. To the breaking of bread, to remembering all that Christ gave for us, including his life for us. Everyone was filled with awe. Wouldn't you like to be a part of a group of people where you go, wow, this place would just light up? And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, that the believers were together and had everything in common. They took care of one another. They just, you need help? Done. I'll do this. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone in need. Not just randomly, but they were so willing to sacrifice everything for their friends. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. The temple courts was a gathering place. It's where people gathered. And so what is your temple courts in Courtney Comox? Your schools, your neighborhoods, your malls. They gather together and rejoice with each other. They broke bread in their homes because they were in house churches, not in gatherings like this. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts because they were just celebrating Christ and enjoying life together, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved because they impacted their world reflecting Christ. That people were going, are you kidding me? What's going on there? I got to find out. And if you know their neighborhoods, it was one house connected to a common area in the middle where they would cook and eat together. And so this influence of the power of the Spirit of God was so real. When I read this passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, there's four things I pull out of it real quick. Number one is there's authentic community. These people were real with one another. They're very real with one another. They loved each other. They cared about each other. They took care of each other. It was a safe place. It was a loving place. It was a healthy place. Authentic community. Second, I see in here inspiring worship. This morning was great worship by music, but worship is not just music. We've lost our way in that. Let's gather together at 11 o'clock for worship service. That means from 11 to 12 or 12:15 or when I preach 12:30, we're going to gather together for worship, and then the rest of the week I don't worship. Not true. Worship is 24/7. You know what worship is? It's giving worth to something. That's what it means, to give worth to. So I think we have two things we can choose. We only have two choices. I give worth to God, or I give worth to myself. Two choices. And so inspiring worship is when I die to self and give worth and worship to God. So in everything I do, I offer it up as a worship to God. When I open the door for somebody, I'm giving worth to God. I smile. I encourage. I come alongside somebody, giving worth to God. There was inspiring worship. They loved being together. Third piece is I see in here is a missional heart. They wanted to proclaim the life-giving power of Jesus. And they proclaimed it to everyone. They have a missional heart. Missional means to be a mission person, a mission person on mission, or a missionary, or whatever you want to call it, means you are sent ones. I love it in some churches. You probably couldn't do it here because this is a school. But in some churches, over the very exit doors, it says, you are now entering the mission field. We gather together as the church for encouragement and love and nurture and building up. and then we're sent out into a world. Missional heart. Every encounter you have, this is how I have started living my life. Every encounter I have, whether it's a waitress last night at the dinner or wherever I go, it's like I am Christ to this person. This is an ordained moment by God Himself. And the fourth piece is spiritual transformation. There was daily renewal of the heart. They were in the Word, they practiced the Word, they understood the Word, they studied the Word, and they lived out the Word of God. All in the power of the Holy Spirit. The work. So, authentic community, inspiring worship, missional heart, and spiritual transformation. Board, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Please stand. The vision statement of the Christian Missionary Alliance in Canada is we are to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people. Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused. Not too far off of what you guys have. So that's who we are as the Christian Missionary Alliance in Canada. A number of years ago, our leadership in the national office sat down and began to say, what prayer could capture the heart of our vision? What prayer? And this is a second rendition of that prayer. It was a little bit longer, but they said, no, let's shorten it up so people can memorize it and churches can memorize it and people can pray it together. And it goes like this, oh God, with all our hearts, I'm all in. With all our hearts, we long for you. We long for you. We need you always. Come, transform us, change us, move us from here to here, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people. Multiplying disciples everywhere. Making disciples all the time. Because that's His command to us. This morning, and I want to do this carefully, but this morning I want us to pray this prayer out loud together. But I'm going to put a caution in here. If you don't believe it and you don't want to be a part of that, then don't say it. Because this is a prayer. This is a prayer of commitment. Oh God, with all my heart, I long for you. Transform me to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused. Multiplying and making disciples everywhere. It's a prayer of commitment. So let's pray together, shall we? Oh God, with all our hearts, we long for you. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Amen. Be sent once with the living life of Christ. In a couple of minutes, Micah is going to come and lead us through communion together. But before we do that, have a seat. Before we do that, I came across a video a number of years ago about a dear little old lady. So it's probably 10 years, so she's not 82 as she said on the video. She's probably now 92 or in God's glory. It is a powerful story of a Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused life. If this, her story, doesn't grab your soul, I don't know what will. May the Lord bless you as we seek to be His children in this lost world.